Well, hello, and welcome to the Growth Mindset Podcast. Join me, Sam Harris, on my journey of curiosity and growth. I have conversations with some of the world's most fascinating humans, from billionaires to Olympians, and most everyone in between, such as suspiciously happy people and even a hitman. Success isn't just for successful people, it is earned and you can earn it too. I find out how ordinary people become extraordinary to fuel your own growth mindset. Welcome to the podcast. Today I have Tom Davis, who is my second cousin, but he's also better known as GeoWizard, his online alias where he's become a YouTube star, for his amazing skills at guessing the locations of random points on the planet from Google Street View. And since then, he's also achieved virality with an amazing series and some other subsequent series of his travels, first one being a straight line mission across Wales, which, yeah, that was a really well done series. And how many views has it had now?
The first episode has got 3.3 million.
Yeah. I remember I had a few friends that had actually watched it and like sent it to me. I was like, why have you sent me my cousin? How did you know about this? And they're like, wait, that's your cousin? I'm like, yeah. Like, so it's pretty cool.
I've had a few stories like that where I've got a close family friend was in Australia and this guy was like, oh, you got to check this guy out. He's walked across Wales, your home country. And he was like, yeah, he's like my family friend. Like, well, stories like that is so bizarre.
So when you have kids, are you going to be like, right, so you see this big mast over there, you must get to it.
I really want to do that. I mean, obviously it's going to be a juggle between not wanting them to die unnecessarily, but I've heard stories. I think it was Richard Branson, I think, if I'm not mistaken. This might be totally wrong because I'm not a fact checker, but I've heard that his parents just dumped him in the middle of Wales when he was, I don't know how old he was. I guess that's quite an important factor. I think he was like 11 and said, find your way home. And that's why he became so entrepreneurial, allegedly. I'm going to sound like a granddad now, but I think there's a lot of spoilt kids who are lacking in that kind of ability to, that fire in their belly that I think comes from not having a lot in certain ways and having to figure things out for themselves when they're younger, and like patience, things like that.
Yeah, that's very much sort of, we've got used to just having things that you want rather than having to work for it as such. And also kind of like the adventurous side of like spending time in uncertainty and learning that that often is what gives you the best results, and doing things that you're not sure how it's going to work out and going through sort of scary moments actually gets you to like a much bigger enjoyment factor than just going directly for like, oh, I want this right now, and having it is not as exciting.
And having it, yeah. It's like, you know, definitely. I mean, it's the journey, isn't it? It's the reward factor. So yeah, to answer your question, I've got this like idea in my head that I'm going to sort of get my kids, if and when I have them, to do these little challenges and try and make them entrepreneurial and try and make them fall in love with adventure and life and not letting them have a phone.
Yeah, big time.
Until they're like 16, but good luck with
that. Yeah, it's really hard, especially if there aren't lots of kids that have got phones, and that's like the cool thing.
I know.
But I don't know.
Maybe because then they get left out and bullied.
Yeah, it might be a bit different. I mean, well, anything that's weird is always like an unusual one for kids, but I think in like 16 years' time or 25 years by the time your kids are that age, it's going to be different in terms of a lot more people are kind of waking up to the problems. And
I'm hoping that there'll be certain towns or villages or schools where all the parents are in this treaty together and they don't let their kids have a phone or until they're 16. That would solve the problem, wouldn't it? But
probably, you know, be like oversubscribed to get into that school. Marketing tactic ever for any school, I think. Maybe we should start a school.
Yeah, but that could happen.
Yeah,
I can see definitely. That happen. There'd be a lot of oddballs.
That's interesting.
There'd be a lot of oddballs there.
So how have you, I mean, you've only just got WhatsApp, but so you've generally just never used your phone a lot, or?
Yeah, so I bit the bullet recently and got a smartphone, an iPhone 6, but up until like 6 months ago, I just had like a really basic Nokia, like 3310 equivalent. It's like 15 quid.
I found it. 2019 again, that you just got it.
I think I got it. Yeah, I got it around Christmas time. I was always not against smartphones as such, but I personally knew that I would spend way too much time on it, on Facebook, scrolling through pointlessly, in group chats, watching YouTube, which I am now. So I was just like, do you know what? If I don't miss it now, why get addicted to it? And I'm happy with my crappy phone. I can ring people. Sound like my nan. I can ring people and I can text people. That's all I need to do.
You do sound like your nan, true. To be fair. People
thank you. But it just used to annoy me when I went to the pub and I hadn't seen my mates in like 2 weeks and I had a story to tell them, and maybe I'm not a very good storyteller, but every now and then they'd be like scrolling on their phone. I'd be like, fuck's sake, like we're here to tell stories to each other and talk and have a laugh. Yeah,
definitely a problem with.
So I didn't want to be a part of that.
Yeah, I recently did a TEDx about the whole like issue with smartphones and they're just sort of grabbing your attention, and with kind of people just being a bit weaker and just immediately being used to satisfying their urges. And it's like that with smartphones, and they're literally there to just, as soon as you don't know what to do, it's like you have this thing in your pocket that's just like an infinite list of things to do that can distract you and amuse your mind. And so you never actually spend any time being bored or like being creative or like thinking for yourself. So like as soon as your brain's like, oh, I've got nothing to do, I can like think of things. It's like, okay, the first thing I'll do is my smartphone before I do anything else. And then you're lost in Facebook or you're talking to people or you're listening to podcasts and like just listening to other people's opinions and thoughts rather than your own. And the problem.
Yeah, that's a good point. Mm. You can just go on YouTube and bam, YouTube's algorithm is recommending you things like what will happen if you throw a bowling ball off a 40-meter platform onto a trampoline. And of course, you're going to watch
definitely.
It.
And so it just it's like, works in that kind of YouTube standpoint. And we're just built to like do things that reward us. And so when you're like doing something kind of difficult, you're not sure what's going to come up next. And your brain goes, oh, I could use my phone. And you'll instantly get like a bit of dopamine because if you do something and you get like a task list. Or in the same way that like if I'm stuck at home, if I'm not sure what to do, like I'll often just go to the fridge to eat something, and like I'll eat something and like my brain will go, hey, you ate something, that's great, and then give me like a reward. And like half an hour later it'll be like, oh, I can reward you again if you go to the fridge, and I'll just keep on going to the fridge all day. Whereas if I'm somewhere else where there's no fridge with food in it, I don't do it. And the same with like you have a phone on you, they'll just keep on sort of rewarding you, and you know that, and doing these other things that are hard and you're not sure about.
It's very true, mate. And we're 29. I do wonder and kind of in horror at what it does to it. If you're doing that from the age of, I don't know, 9, you know, bloody hell. Your teenage years are so crucial for your development. And I'm so blessed that I got to, I mean, we had MSN, but I'm so happy that I spent my teen years
without that stuff
out there. Yeah, without that stuff out there trying to pull girls and trying to make people laugh. And
definitely.
And that it wasn't on a screen.
Yeah, I do feel like social media is sort of, it's like the worst parts of being a teenager, like concentrated. So like, you know, like all like kind of the validation and seeking of attention and stuff. It's like, it's all about that. It's all about like you trying to like be cool and just show off about your life. It's got none of the good parts of just sharing experience with people and actually doing stuff together and like being in real time, actually having a conversation. So you don't actually make friends on social media ever. You just show off to the ones that you have. And it's just like, oh, it's so annoying.
Yeah, man, absolutely. And, you know, when I look at who my closest friends are in the world, like the guys who know all my secrets and I can just be my unadulterated self in front of, I made those bonds when I was kind of 13, 14, 15, 16, because you're just a little shit, aren't you? And you just kind of, but you get to, you know, everyone's bad side and you love them anyway. Whereas, so if you don't have that, then you'll have no friends.
The great future for anyone of the younger people. Don't be worrying.
Yeah, it's a shame.
But it is weird how like quickly, I mean, you've only just got a smartphone, so it's not the same. But I mean, the last 10 years of my life, I've had a smartphone. But before university, like I went around America and drove around it with like a compass. And like now it sort of just seems weird to not even have like a sat nav or a phone that will just tell you where to go and do everything, and just how you lose that skill so quickly that you even realize. But if I'd grown up with those things, like I'd never even realized that I could even get somewhere without having a phone on me, kind of. It's literally like an extension of yourself. Like you don't feel complete without a phone. I don't know if you've noticed this yet, but like it's a common recognized fact that like if a human sort of forgets their phone and like is on the tube like going to work or something, they'll literally get off the tube and like go back and get it because of like they just don't feel right. Like they can't do their day without their phone, and you don't feel complete.
Yeah, as you say, like maps and all those tools, but also they feel like they're connected to all the people they know through like social media, and like, oh God, I'm missing out on things. And it is a shame because I think humans, we derive a lot of satisfaction and kind of, what's the word? We feel kind of at one with ourselves when we complete challenges and things that are hard to work out. And if we've got this thing to think for us, you're just going to end up devoid of that element of, like, you're not going to be proud of yourself, really, yeah, because you haven't worked anything out.
Achievement and things. Sort of.
That's it. Yeah.
Have you heard of the book Amusing Ourselves to Death? It's about, like, the future of humans and how, like, you're just going to, like, slowly descend into more and more kind of just entertainment and not, like, really looking into, like, the long term of things. And wait, if you think
that's a great title.
There's like a theoretical idea of, like, if we had like a super intelligent AI and we gave it the goal of just making humans happy, like, what it would end up doing is kind of planting something into our brain that just, like, stimulates us to just feel like ecstasy the whole time. So you just be like sat there lying just in ecstasy. And, like, it's obviously not actually what we wanted to do, but it's, and, like, it just seems like wrong, but, like, is it wrong because of, on, like, the level of, like, actually I'm just happy the whole time? Is that, like, a good thing because we want human happiness? And it's sort of like what we're doing with
you might as well just take drugs all the time,
which is kind of completely wrong.
Every up has to have a down, doesn't
it? That's sort of the cost of, like, social media and those things. It's just like a short term, like, up right now. You kind of, you constantly feel like it's going to be better and, like, something good, but in the long term, it just doesn't help your brain at all. And so many other things that we're losing.
That's it.
This stuff.
That's it. It's short. What's the word? Gratification. That's the one, Sam. Yeah, short-term gratification. It's like the same reason you would have a McDonald's or a beer or a spliff or all the naughty things you can think of. It's fine in moderation, but it's when you get addicted to these things and to replace the satisfaction of doing truly hard, meaningful things.
Yeah. So
We could go on.
Definitely. It does seem like it would make sense for travel programs to kind of pitch to you because you have kind of like a bit of a personality and you are really developing your skills to kind of just be funny and things. But could you get a lot more content out there and do more adventurous stuff with like a budget and people behind you sort of producing it all so you could just come and be you and you don't have to like sit behind your computer for 3 months after you've done like 5 days of stuff?
That's true. Yeah, if I could do the kind of things that I want to do, like a straight line mission, and a TV company or a production company was like, yeah, you know, we're going to let you do what you do. We're not going to mess with it too much. Then yeah, that would be perfect. Because as you say, I wouldn't have to edit it myself. Although I would like to kind of overlook that because I'm a perfectionist. But yeah, that would be great. I'm just always skeptical. Like when you go into these contracts with TV channels, like they start off by saying, Yeah, you can do what you want. And then slowly, when you're more invested in it, they slowly start to go, actually, we're going to change one slight thing. Absolutely.
Yeah, I guess I'm kind of similar in some of these things. And I've always felt music was like a thing that I kind of have to do at some point. It's just sort of there inside me. And like, I just love making it and doing it and things. This year, I was doing a lot more music until I started working on my current business, which has kind of taken over my life a little bit. But I kind of did say that when I get to 30, I was always going to record an album and just have some time off to do that.
That's true. Yeah. By the time you are 30, yeah. Do it, man. Whack an album out. We'll do a duet.
That would be nice. Do you sing? I've only ever heard you like the background music so much.
I sing. I'm not a good singer, but I sing like a means to an end. I sing my songs in a certain way, which I try and make it suit it. Hopefully in August, maybe September, my album will be done by then so people can hear how good or bad I am at singing.
Cool. What sort of style are you like creating? Because I did a music production course and like I'd only written like acoustic music really up to that because I had an acoustic guitar. And occasionally some things would come out a bit like really rock or something, but it was mostly like acoustic. But then when I did that, I just went like nuts. I was like doing drum and bass and hip hop and like, having so much fun. Yeah, it was really fun.
Was that a good
course? Yeah, it was. Really enjoyed it. It wasn't too expensive either. It was like a BTEC in London. So it was like £300 to go and do this thing. And if I wanted to do like the next level up would be like sort of £5,000 or something to do like the next 6 months. But it was just because it was funded at like an A-level level of thing. And so it was quite nice.
That's good.
It's really fun to go and do.
Some good teachers. Yeah. Were they good teachers?
Yeah,
there?
Yeah, they were pretty sound and it was helpful on like learning stuff about like music industry and just sort of general thoughts around creating things and testing different skills.
There's lots to learn in terms of recording.
Yeah,
and,
setting up like a drum kit.
I mean, I find a lot of
recording
it,
that. It's like an entire day procedure going through that.
I know. I find a lot of it boring, to be honest, the more scientific side of it, like microphone, omnidirectional, stuff like that. I mean, that interests other people more, but I just want to play my guitar, mate. You know what I mean? Like I get there and I'm just itching to play or compose. But yeah, we'll see how that turns out. It's going well. Recording's going well.
How are you recording sessions at home?
I'm going round my bandmate Liam. I mean, obviously there was a bit of a lull recently with current events, but we're picking things up again now shortly. And he's just got all the gear. Between us, we've got some good gear, and he knows his onions when it comes to recording. To answer your question, it's kind of like, what kind of style is it? Kinds of like, it's the band. A lot of my fans know it because I've rammed it down their throats before. It's kind of like trippy, sort of Pink Floyd-y, Tame Impala-y kind of vibes. Picture that, but mediocre. We were gigging, and then obviously we've stopped, in a nutshell.
Yeah, nice. Yeah, most recently, I found that I quite like doing mashups of things, and I was just sort of being a bit silly one day. I was just playing like this acoustic. Fleetwood Mac was the first people I was playing, like the Landslide, and I ended up rapping like Coolio all over it and stuff.
Was it Rumours, the album?
Yeah, I think so.
When you said mashup, I thought I was thinking Fatboy Slim, like you're mashing samples. Yeah,
so kind of that. But I was playing this acoustic song, and then I realized I can Nelly rap over the top of it. And so I started doing that. And then I just started combining stupid things since then. So I've been putting like 50 Cent and Coldplay together, and just sort of like, you can kind of combine them to tell a bit of a funny story as well. And that's been quite fun. Like,
that's interesting.
Like, what sounds like it's going to be like this nice acoustic song, and then it's turned into like this medley of stupid stuff.
I'd like to hear that. You're going to have to send me that over.
Recordings of it. I did a few on Facebook for 1 week during the coronavirus. I just was like, I keep on doing these things, I just haven't ever shown anyone. So I just recorded it in one take and made loads of mistakes, but was like, actually, now like I've done it. But actually, I should do a good job of it. My friends really liked it, but I think I could actually record it without like messing up if I just put a bit of time into it, kind of thing.
Yeah.
Which I think would be good. But otherwise, yeah, I would actually like to record more of my own things besides just sort of messing with other people's music.
Yeah, just experiment. I always found that with music, if I tried to force it, if I tried to sit down and write a song, none of my best songs, in a relatively speaking, were ever from that scenario. They were always me just being happy. Like, I remember when I cycled to Budapest in 2014, best thing I ever did, and just being really happy cycling along, because obviously, I don't know, I'd climbed up a big hill or something, I don't know, and just a song would pop into my head. And obviously the repetitiveness of the pedals, and I'd form this song in my head and I'd kind of hear it. And then, you know, you just record it on your phone, you sing into it. And then that's how all my best ideas were formed. Just me being kind of happy one day, which wasn't every day, and just pops into your head.
Interesting. Yeah, certainly some of mine are just kind of like randomly just noodling around, like wasn't even planning to like write something, and just be like, oh, this makes a noise, it's kind of interesting, and then just following it. And certainly like I wasn't intending to write rap or sort of drum and bass, I just sort of was playing with the noise and like, oh, this kind of sounds cool. I could put other noise with it. Oh, it sounds like this kind of thing. And it's really fun. I also found that whenever I was really sad, it was kind of quite good, which did mean I ended up writing quite a few songs that were sad, which got a bit boring.
Really?
But I found it a really good way of like understanding my emotions better and like putting them somewhere. And then it kind of like, it detached them from myself. And it was like, oh, I'm sad about this thing. And then like, I would no longer be sad about it. It'd be like that thing over there. And like, I'd be pretty happy because I'd just done the creating, and creating has always made you feel nice. So I'd feel great. And like, if I ever wanted to feel like, you know, kind of, it's like this memory is like stored, I can just go back to and like play that song and be like, oh yeah, this is how I felt at the time, but I don't really feel like that anymore. And, but it's nice. And it's
weird, like, yeah. Yeah. That's a good way of explaining it. Yeah. That's cool, man.
Just need to have more like terrible things happen in my life. I end up, I wrote quite a nice song after I finished watching Breaking Bad, you know, when like he dies and things. And it actually came out really nicely. It's hard to explain, but it's quite cute.
Well, the last scene in Breaking Bad, that's Badfinger, isn't it, that they used for that? Because I've never watched Breaking Bad, but I just heard that Badfinger, who are like this Welsh 70s band who I love, they just randomly chose them for the last song, Baby Blue.
Yeah.
I'm kind of going off on one here, but yeah.
that's kind of how the podcast seems to work. It's fine. interesting. I wasn't expecting to talk so much about music. I didn't know you've been doing things. I'd heard a lot more about your brother's band, which I wouldn't say I really enjoy their music as such, but I really like the idea behind it of just going on stage and throwing vegetables at people and being a bit nuts.
It's not just that, but yeah. That does happen. Yeah. If you're into punk music, anyone who wants to listen to it. Yeah, I like the punk and new wave era, but they are very kind of like aggressively punk. They do have a lot of melodic stuff as well, Gork. But yeah, they just take tons of vegetables on stage and just it turns into a food fight. but with raw vegetables. It's great.
Yeah, it sounds great.
But they're not playing anymore.
Just the coronavirus, or just like, sadly, just stopped in general.
Well, I think aside from that, I don't think they're going
to
be.
Yeah, because they were booked to play Glastonbury, and then like he didn't go for it, and always.
Yeah, they were. Yeah, they were booked to play Glastonbury, and then my brother Ben decided, oh, no, I don't want to be in this band anymore.
I mean, like, that's like the pinnacle of like why you're in a band. as in, you should not be in a band. Just go to Glastonbury for free. What was?
Exactly.
Like, I would happily stand on stage and play some music and throw vegetables to people for the allowance to go to Glastonbury.
So would I. I mean, a lot of people would pay
a lot of money for that.
I think there's a fair few people who would pay like a grand to get in, but they couldn't get tickets. It's got out of hand, hasn't it? Really?
Rather. It's very good marketing. Very good. It is like the place to be. I've been reading a book about like marketing, and like it's called Oversubscribed, and they do give Glastonbury as an example of just creating so much hype and sort of creating the expectation that it's going to sell out, so people kind of go and do it more. So, as in, there's so many other festivals that go on in the UK that are all really good, but they don't all sell out within like 30 minutes for millions of people.
No.
And create this weird like vibe.
It's gained this reputation around the world as being the kind of pinnacle of British music and festivals. And I think people are flocking now from all over the world, aren't they? Like, because there's like allocations from each country, and yeah, it's just got insane. It's like Woodstock. It's like the closest thing you're going to get to Woodstock, I guess, in a weird way.
And anyway,
we've had some good chats.
Yeah, it's been interesting. Great to finally make time.
Yeah,
it's been fascinating. Well,
it's been great, man. Really enjoyed it.
Thanks so much.
I hope you enjoyed the episode as much as I did. My goal for this podcast is to help make people happier and wiser, and I'm also working on a few other projects in the podcasting space to achieve the same thing. I also run the Curious Comforts podcast, finding out what's going on in the world and how to improve it with industry insiders. We've been focusing on the effects of the coronavirus lately, but I also discuss broader things like climate change and AI. Most recently, I've been building an app, Syncify. It's really to level up your podcast experience. You can connect with your friends in the app and listen to the same things. So you can listen live in real time with each other, or create shared playlists and catch up at your own pace. You learn so much more by discussing ideas with friends. It's really silly to listen alone. You can also discover and share brilliant episodes with ease without having to try and recommend podcasts in different apps and just it all getting lost and confused. So it's also good for combating isolation and mental health. I personally find social media quite antisocial, and I just don't find it easy to reach out to friends to chat for no real reason. But I do love doing things with other people, and listening to the same content means that I can naturally talk about the same things, and it just gives me that friend time without going out of my way. So I really hope that it can help you, and I just would love you to try out the beta version and help us build this. And obviously, do invite your friends. It's all about friends. So you can find out more about Syncify app by going to syncifyapp.com. Thanks for listening.
Congratulations on listening to a whole episode of the Growth Mindset podcast. Before you race into another podcast, try pausing. Ask yourself, what have you learned? What could you change? How will you make that change happen? Did you press pause? Knowledge is useless without action. What did you learn? What should you change? And how will you make that change happen? You can tell us what you learnt by contacting us through the website, growthmindsetpodcast.com, and feel free to connect with us or our guests, or just peruse the show notes. Our Instagram is @growthmindsetpodcast, or follow me @samjamsnaps for a daily reminder to stop using Instagram. If you enjoy random acts of kindness and want to support the show, you can support us on Patreon or leave us a review on iTunes, and you'll make me very happy. And with that, keep learning and keep growing.